Russell Evans here from Planet Shakers. I'm so excited to have you with us today. I'm sure this message is going to empower you. I'm sure that God's going to enlarge your spirit. Why don't you open up your heart and receive from what God has for you today?
Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." That's called an overflow, by the way. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23 is often quoted at funerals, but how many know it's not a funeral psalm? It's actually a life psalm. If you look at the Psalm 23, it has all the progression of life, what each of us go through, and what God's plan and destiny is for us as individuals. And we're going to go through this today, and it's a psalm of overflow, basically. But I'm going to rename it the Asian Psalm, not the Asian Psalm, the Asian Psalm. Some of you are going, "What the heck are you talking about?" Well, get ready. Here we go. It says, firstly, "The Lord is my shepherd." The first Asian that is in this is revelation. You see, you notice it says, "The Lord is my shepherd," not "the shepherd." Because the progress in life, by the way, this psalm all talks about from infancy to maturity. The thing in life is that we need to live in revelation. The Lord is my shepherd. He's a personal shepherd. The Lord Adonai, the Lord Yahweh, the Lord all-powerful, the mighty God, the Lord is my shepherd. I have a revelation. He's my shepherd. So then it goes on to the next Ation, A-T-I-O-N, and we go into realization. I shall not want. That word "want" means to have any lack. When you have a revelation of who God is, you have a revelation there's no lack in Him. And you know that because there's no lack in Him and you're His child, there's no lack in you. If you don't have a revelation of Him, you'll never have a revelation of you. Because we're made in His image, and you see, when we see Him, we become like Him. So when we're revealed to take the cover off who He is, it reveals take the cover off who we are. And when we see Him, we see that there's no lack in Him. That means any sickness can be healed by Him. That means any financial provision can be provided by Him. That means any depression can be filled with joy by Him, because there is no lack in Him. The Lord is my shepherd. Revelation. Now I have a real realization, I have no want. I shall not want. Realization. Then it goes on, He makes me lie down in green pastures. That word "lie down" is to rest. See, God wants us to live a life of rest. That doesn't mean we don't work. No, I rest as I work. From the position of revelation, I'm His son. From the position of realization, He has everything for me and He's on my side. Now I have a position of rest. And so I work from the position of rest. I don't work to get rest. You see, many people work for the weekend to get rest, but I work from rest Sunday to the rest of the week. It says, He makes me lie down in green. That word "green" is new. And that word "pastures" is an amazing word. It's dwelling or habitation. See, God just doesn't want you to have a visitation. He wants you to have a habitation, a dwelling. You see, from revelation to realization to habitation. You are the Christ. Now He gets inhabited by His presence. See, God wants us not to be a church that just has revelation or realization. He wants us to live in habitation. We are the habitation of Him. In him I live and move and have my being. Out of my innermost being will flow rivers of living water. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Because I'm inhabited by him, or inhabited by him. He's in me, inhabit in me. I'm in him, in Christ Jesus. I'm a habitation. I just don't have a visitation. And so many Christians live in moments of revelation, moments of realization, but little time of habitation, mostly visitation. God wants you to live in habitation. Then the Bible says, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. You see, when you have a revelation, you go into realization, then you have habitation, and then you start the process of restoration. He restores my soul. You see, God, once you understand he inhabits you, or he lives in you, he starts working on your soul to change your soul, your will, your feelings and your emotions, the hurts and the pains and the problems of life that have robbed from you and stolen from you and taken from you. Jesus says, I don't come to steal, kill and destroy. That's the devil's work. I come to give you life and life more abundantly. In other words, he wants to restore you, but if you can't restore a city if you don't get restored yourself. And restoration comes by habitation. We're called to restore, bring the kingdom of God to this world. So the enemy will constantly work at stealing from you, your soul. He's the enemy of your soul. He restores my soul. Then the Bible says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. You see, God wants to direct your life, you know, in paths of righteousness, right ways, right thinking, right moving. He wants to direct your life. Why? For his namesake, because our lives are a life of revelation, which has a realization, which has a habitation, which goes into restoration, and then your life becomes a place of glorification. Your life glorifies him. The abundance out of your life gives him glory. That's why God wants to bless you. And he says, I want to lead you the right way to glorify for my name's sake. But then it goes on to, I'm giving you the quicker version, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, life has shadows. Life has valleys. Life has mountains. Life has coming down the mountain. Life has going up the mountain. Life is a journey. But it's in the journey when you have revelation and realization and habitation and restoration and glorification, you know that when you go through the valleys of the shadow of death, that you and I can keep walking. See, the problem is so many people get in the valley of the shadow of death, they stop walking. When you live in revelation, it keeps you going through the dark night. The valley of the shadow of death is a track from Jericho, which was the promised land, through to Jerusalem, Zion, which is the place of destiny. The promised land was never to be settled entirely because it was to take more cities. Jerusalem was the ultimate destination of Jesus. Huh. So over Jericho, there's a big mountain called the Mount of Temptation. It's where Jesus was tempted by the devil, and he could look down at the place of promise and look towards the place of destiny. But along the path from Jericho to Jerusalem is the valley of the shadow of death. And it's in that path that people would stop and give up. And God is saying in this scripture, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, you notice it's a shadow. A shadow appears bigger than it really is. How many watch Seinfeld? There's a show, there's this program in Seinfeld that has Kramer with his funny hair, and he puts on these skinny jeans, real tight jeans. And there's this part where he's walking down this alleyway, and his shadow appears on the wall. And because he can't walk probably because his jeans are so tight and his hair's so funny, he's walking like this. There's people who see the shadow and they're freaking out because it looks like a monster. See, a shadow makes something look bigger and stronger and more powerful than it really is. And so what do you need to do in the shadow? You got to go back to habitation. You got to go back to revelation. You got to go back to realization. So it'll keep you walking towards your destination.
The whole thought was that we were going to have such great encounters with God, that people will experience the God of overflow and he'll get all the praise for it.
Yeah. What we try to do at Planet Shakers is always just declare the word of God in our songs. There is so much power in declaring the word of God because it actually changes the atmosphere.
That's right.
We experienced overflow in every part of the conference. The praise and worship was incredible. We had more people in that room than we've ever had before.
That's true.
Yeah. It was amazing. Oh, if you're loving, don't stop singing.
Everybody keep on praising. Nothing excites us like Jesus. The whole place packed with people. You can feel the atmosphere shift.
It was like the music started, God started to move.
Even thinking about it now, and when I listen on the CD, it's electric, it's just powerful.
Songs for our church and obviously then our conference, but wherever people listen to this, our biggest prayer would be that they would be taken into the presence of Jesus. We're believing that through this praise and worship, people would encounter him.
Of why we record this moment with God that changes their destiny forever.
Our Savior, our King, our God.
And our prayer is that as everyone watches it, listens to it, that they experience the same amazing tangible presence that was, you know, we all felt in the venue that night.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the message so far. Our prayer is that you have a habitation, not just a visitation. Why don't you sit back and enjoy the rest? It says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When we were in Israel, we were filming and we came up to this shepherd and we're filming in this car and the shepherd was a bit angry, I don't know. And he comes up to Pilsy, who's got the camera, and he wants money. And Pilsy's like, no, we'd stop. No. And he had a staff, a shepherd's staff, it's talking about a rod and a staff, and there's either a staff that has a crook on the end that would pull the sheep back when they were about to go into dangerous territories, or at the end it'd have a rod where it'd hit off people who'd attack people who animals that were attacking predators. And so this is a picture. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod, your protection, and your staff, the protection against the enemy will protect me and comfort me. And it was funny, he wanted money and we said, no, we're not giving you money. So he got his staff and he was about to hit Pilsy with it and he's going, will you hurry up and drive? Will you? He was freaking out. So the driver was quite slow and he said, put up the window. What was the shepherd doing? He was trying to protect his territory. See, that's what a shepherd does. And so even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death and it seems dark and I get to the edge, I know that your shepherd, your staff will protect me. I know when the enemy comes in, you'll beat him off because you're a powerful God. Why? Because I have a revelation. I have a realization. I have a habitation. I'm now living in restoration and I have glorification happening. And now I can walk through the stuff of life. Because then it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's my birthday this week. I didn't have a table there with all my enemies, I was with my friends. But here's a picture. God says, because you live in revelation, because you have a realization, because you are in habitation, because I've taken you to restoration and there's been glorification, now I'm putting you into preparation and I'm going to prepare a table of blessing before you in the things that want to steal from you. So that depression, I'm going to put on that table praise. That sickness, I'm going to put on that table healing. That lack of finances, I'm going to put on their abundance and blessing. You have your enemies standing at you, but I want to show you how powerful I am, because I am your shepherd. He is my shepherd. My shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah Jireh, the Lord Nissi, the Lord. He is my shepherd, and he's so good. He's a good father. He prepares a table in not the presence of my friends, because my friends would say, sure. But the enemies, it's really saying, no, 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 no. Our G-O-D is B-I-G. He's bigger than your attacks. He's bigger than your lies. He's bigger than your opposition. And here's a table of blessing. Preparation. See, when you're starting to get blessed, the enemy will get scared and try to take from your table. Just remember, he prepares a table before you in the presence of my enemies. Then he says, and you anoint my head with oil. Interesting concept. Here this is referring to the anointing. They would anoint two groups of people in the Bible with oil. Oil represented two things. Number one, they would anoint kings. Represents authority and rulership and blessing and favor. And they would anoint priests, which represent service and ministry. The priests would serve the people, the kings would lead the people. Bible says in the New Testament that we're both kings and priests. And so he's saying, I'm going to anoint your head with oil, which means I'm going to make you a servant king. You see, Jesus was a servant king. He ministered as a priest, but he ruled as a king. He was a servant king. So what is it saying? I'm giving you authority. But here's the deal. The authority comes, see, the inheritance comes at the revelation. The Lord is my shepherd. I understand. But in the process of maturity, though I go through some stuff, now I've been through some stuff, now I have some authority, I'm no longer just living inheritance, now I'm living in the authority to live out that inheritance. Why? Because I've been through revelation, I've been in realization, I'm in habitation, I've been through restoration, I've been through the valley, I've been through the shadow, and now I'm living in a moment of where God anoints my head with oil, which represents power, presence, authority, rulership, reigning. It's called, this season is called a season of amplification, where everything gets turned up to a whole nother level. This week on this stage, I spoke to 800 pastors, got off a plane, and I walked in there and I was tired, but I came in and I came because they were wanting to go to another level. Well, we as a church have led the way in this city, now 13,000 people, never been done in the history of Melbourne. And I got up there and I said, I'm going to release an overflow anointing into your life. What was I doing? Because Russell Evans was any good? No. I had an inheritance. My dad is good. But I've been through the processes of multiplication into the place of overflow. And I said, I release overflow. And God went boom in that room. Why? Because right then he says, I'm going to amplify it. Then it says, my cup runs over. That's overflow. And I was looking for an Asian word for overflow. I was going, God, give, and I didn't get it till 9:15. And this is the word he said to me. He said, overflow, because I was just going to say overflow, but this is what he said. He said, overflow is the infiltration system of God. See, God doesn't come through the bottom to spread. He comes through the top because he's the head and not the tail. He's above and not beneath. So he says, I'm going to bless you so much that I will overflow your life to release the infiltration system of heaven on earth so that blessing and favor and healing and joy and power and peace will be so overflowing in your life. It will infiltrate into your workplace. It will infiltrate into your marriage. It will infiltrate into your street. It will infiltrate into a city. And I will come and release the systems of heaven, which aren't the systems of the world. The systems of the world are decrease, are take, take, take. The systems of God is increase, give, give, give. The systems of the world is me, me, me. The systems of God is everybody, everybody, everybody. The systems of the world is not for anyone else but selfishness. The systems of God is for everybody to receive. Your cup, Planet Shakers, runs over into Austin, runs over into South Africa, runs over into the Philippines, runs over into Melbourne, runs over in every area. Your cup runs over. And I, it says, will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dwelling, it goes back to habitation. Habitation. Revelation. Realization. Habitation. Restoration. Exaltation. Then it goes into a season of preparation. Then into amplification. Then into infiltration and being constant in habitation. See, God wants to inhabit the praises of his people. The problem is so many Christians have revelation that's 3 years old because they've stopped increasing their measure. They've stopped wanting a visitation. God, visit me on Sunday, but they don't have a habitation on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we get a visitation at a conference, but we don't have a habitation for a city. And God wants every season to be realized through habitation. And God wants to release himself through you. He wants to overflow you. See, when you have a revelation that he is good, when you have a realization that everything you need is in him, when you have a moment of where he comes in habits and then you go into a place of restoration, you're now able to restore other things. And now you're in preparation, there's attack, but it's all about preparation so that you can have an amplification. So that there can be an infiltration to release his habitation. Because he's good. And I've discovered this. If I keep understanding a habitation, I always say, God, increase my boundaries or my tent for your inhabitation. I want more of you to flow in me and out of me. See, Luke 6:37, given it shall be given to you, pressed down, pressure. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. I'm being blessed. There's some pressure. There's some expansion. He pressed down, shaken together. He's shaking me. Why? I'm going through some shadows, but there's some shaking, but his rod and his staff are there, me. But he's creating more space in me. And now he's creating a place of overflow because I increased my measure now. And now it pours out into the lap. And because the measure you give is the measure you receive. Why? Because I want more habitation. Well, God, it's good, 13,000. We're doing this and doing that. But God says, no, no, there's more. And you say, I want a greater measure of God. I want a greater habitation of God. I want to live in revelation. Maybe some of you haven't been operating in the revelation God has given you. See, the Apostle Paul says, I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I've got to live in revelation. revelation, revelation. And then I have a realization because something's revealed. Now I realize I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Good, good father. Good, good father. And then now I'm letting him restore my soul. You see, if you don't get restoration, how are you going to restore anyone else? See, hurt people hurt people. Restore people, restore people. So God, restore in me the joy of my salvation. Restore. I want to live in habitation. You say, that's me, Russell, all across this room. I want to live in revelation. I want to live in a realization that I have everything I want. I want to live in a place of habitation, which comes to restoration, which releases exaltation. I thank you, Father, for preparation so that there can be an amplification to see an infiltration so that can be a continued habitation. Thanks for joining us today. We want to connect with you. Why don't you send an email into us at church@planetshakers.com. Look at all our social media at Planet Shakers Church, at Planet Shakers on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat. And we just want to connect with you. God bless you. Have an most amazing week and walk in the destiny God has for you.